Welcome to Torah Timach Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu Perek Yud Zayin, the 17th Perek. We are still in the section of Yeshayahu that deals with the Masa'ot, the prophecies regarding other nations. We spoke about Bavel, and we spoke very briefly about the Plishtim, and then we spoke about the nation of Moab. Today, we're going to talk about the Masa' regarding Damesek, Damascus, which is the capital of the nation of Aram. As you recall, we have spoken about Aram already in Sefer Yeshayahu because Aram is the big ally of Malchus Yisrael, the kingdom of Yisrael. If you remember, Pekach ben Remaliahu, the king of Yisrael, and Ritzin, the king of Aram, together go and fight against Yehuda. And as we said in Divrei Yamim, it tells us that even though they managed to kill 120,000 people, they do not manage to wipe out the kingdom of Yehuda. And ultimately, the Assyrian army is going to wipe out both Aram as well as Yisrael. So what we know is that there is an allegiance and a very close relationship between the people of Aram, the people of Damascus, and the kingdom of the Shomron. And that's why maybe, according to the Abarbanel, this section is going to focus actually largely on Malchus Yisrael, on the Jewish people, and not so much on Aram, because they were in the same camp, they identified as the same community, and as a result, their destruction came hand in hand. Psukim Aleph to Gimel are the only psukim in this perek that actually talk about the people of Aram. Pasuk Aleph tells us, Masa Damasek, Hine Damasek Musar Meir V'hayasa Me'i Mapala. This is a prophecy regarding the people of Damascus. The city of Damasek, which was once an incredibly important city, will become a deep depth of desolation. Azuvot Are Aroer, the city of Aroer, which we'll talk about in a second, will be abandoned. La Adrim Tihiana, it'll be left for flocks who are going to graze in it. There won't be any human population living there. There won't be any cities or houses. It'll just be a field. And Veravtsu Ve'en Macharid, and they will lie down there and they will not be afraid. Animals will graze there with no fear. So what is the city of Aroer? According to the Targum, the word Aroer actually just means, La'arer means to destroy. And it just means the place will be destroyed. However, we know that Aroer is an actual place that's spoken about in the Chumash as one of those lands that belong to Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh, just like Divon and Cheshbon, other places we spoke about last Perek. So why is it mentioned? Yeah, so the Radak says, no, there were two cities of Aroer. One belonged to Jews, one belonged to the people of Aram, and it's just two different cities. Obviously, we have the approach that just like last Perek, we spoke about how the Moabites occupied what was once Jewish land. So perhaps Rashi says it's the same thing here. However, there's another approach, which Rashi brings a Medrash, which tells us that we compare the city of Aroer is actually the city of Jews, of Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh, but it's brought in the psukim that are talking about Aram to juxtapose or contrast the Aram cities with the Jewish cities. Why? Because we know that the people of Aram were incredibly terrible idol worshippers. In fact, they had 365 different marketplaces in the city of Damascus, and each one had a different idol, and they would go from marketplace to marketplace and worship a different idol every single day of the week. And the Jewish people, what did they do? They took all 365 idols and they put them into one city, and they worshipped all 365 on one day. So here we're getting a sense of the incredibly terrible influence of the people of Aram on Bnei Yisrael. And so we're told that the people of Damascus will be abandoned, as well as the people of Yerushalayim. Pasuk Gimel. V'nishbat miftzar me'Ephraim u'mamlacha midamesek. There will be no more fortresses in Ephraim, in the people of Ephraim, and nothing, there'll be no more kingdom or sovereignty in Damascus. U'sha'ar Aram k'kavod b'nei Yisrael yihiyu nu'um Hashem tzvakot. And what remains of Aram will have the same kavod, the same dignity as b'nei Yisrael. What does that mean? A couple of ways of understanding this. Either it could be sarcastic, meaning neither of them will have any cover. They're going to be stripped of all of their dignity. However, there is a different way to read this. The Ibn Ezra says that Aram will be so demeaned and so lowly that Yisrael, the 10 tribes, who themselves will be in a state of ruin, will look impressive compared to Damascus. And therefore, when the Pasuk says that the kavod of Bnei Yisrael will be like the kavod of Aram, it's because Yisrael will be even loftier, even higher, despite their lowly state. And now Yeshayahu turns to Yisrael and says, Yisrael, if you choose to include yourself with Aram, then your destruction will also be included with Aram. Bahaya bayomahu, on that day when Aram falls, Yidal kvod Yaakov umishman besaro yirazeh. Yaakov will become dwindling in number, and their fat will become lean. What does this mean? According to the Malbim, there are two stages of this exile. The first stage is going to be that they will be stripped of their dignity, of their kavod, and then they will actually be killed. And Pasuk Hey describes the stages of the exile of Israel, which we know took place in three stages. There were three different Assyrian kings who came and sent the Jews out into exile. There was Tiglath-Pileser, who went and took out Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh. Then there was Shalmaneser, and later on Sancheriv. So Pasuk Hey is going to tell us about all of those stages. It tells you, V'hayake esof katsir kama uzra'o shibolim yiktsor. Just as a harvester may gather the standing grain and reap the ears with his arms, v'haya k'milkat milaket shibalim be'emek refaim, and as if he's gathering up the ears in emek refaim. The farmer who's gathering up all of this crop is a reference to Sancheriv. He's going up and he's gathering up the people in order to send them out into exile. The Ibn Ezra says, the Pasuk says the word Vahaya twice to emphasize that there's going to be two stages, but the Malbim reads in the third one, Vahaya kesof ketzir kama, just as you might gather up the standing crop. It's that stage one. That's going to be Tiglat Pileser. And then Uzroshi bolim yiktsor, and reap the ears with his arms, that's going to be the next level, Shalmaneser. And then V'hayak miklat shibolim be'emek refaim is going to ultimately be Sancheriv's destruction. And now we're going to recall a standing theme in Yeshayahu, which is that as the people of Yisrael are being sent out into exile and wiped out by Sancheriv together with the people of Aram, we have to turn our attention to the people of Yehuda who remain. Because the people of Yehuda are watching this happen. And what is their response? Pasuk Vav tells us, V'nish arbo olelot k'nokef zayit shnayim shlosha gargarim barosh amir. The only part of the fruit that's going to be left is going to be like a tiny little bit of olives that are left at the top of an olive tree. If you imagine someone goes and they beat out the olive tree in order to get the olives to fall down, and there's a couple right at the top. And the Malbim points out that normally what's left behind is the bad olives. If I'm going into an olive yard and I'm taking out all the olives, I'm going to leave behind the ones that are either not grown enough or they're bad. But here, the ones that are left behind are Barosh Amir. They're at the top of the tree. They can't get them because they're too high up. So too, Sancheriv doesn't destroy Yehuda and the people under Chizkiyahu, not because they aren't important, because they're bad or they're rejects, but because they're too lofty, too high for him to stretch out and to reach them, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect them because of their righteousness. And therefore we hear Pasuk Zayin, Bayom Hahu, and just like we read Bayom Hahu on Pasuk Dalad, which describes the destruction of Yisrael, in contrast we have Bayom Hahu Yish'e Ha'adam El Osehu. People in Yehuda will turn to their Creator, Ve'enav El Kadosh Yisrael Tirena, and their eyes will face Hashem. Why are they doing Teshuvah? Well, there's two things that bring them to do Teshuvah. The one is the might and the power and the impressiveness of Chizkiyahu, their leader. But the second thing is watching the destruction of Israel. Watching how their brethren are being taken out into exile is a major wake-up call to the people of Yehuda to say, oh my gosh, if we don't get our act together, we're going to be next. And so Pasuk Yud Ches tells us, V'lo yish'e el mizbachot ma'aseh yadav. They stop turning to their places of idol worship. V'asher asu etzbosav. And they don't turn to the things that they made, their idols and their deities, which they have created. Rather, they turn to Hashem. And we have this word which appears here in these psukim, yisha'e, to turn. As we know, when Hashem accepts Hevel's korban, it says that Hashem turns to Hevel. Equally, we have an idea in Chazal, which is that this concept, Yeshmi shekona es olamo b'sha'a achas. There is a person can acquire olam haba b'sha'a achas, which we often translate as in one moment, but perhaps it can also mean b'sha'a achas, in one turning. When you have a turning point in your life, quite literally, in which you have an awakening. You have a wake-up call and you realize you need to turn yourself around. That is a sha'a. It's not just a moment, it's a turn. And so here also, the name Yeshayahu represents not just salvation, but turning, as we said in Perek Aleph. And here, people are going to turn around, the people of Yehuda, and they're going to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do Teshuvah. And as I said, this Perek is a lot of up and down, because in Perek Pasuk Tes, we hear the words Bayomahu again. The first Bayomahu was talking about the destruction of Israel. And we said, but Bayomahu, at exactly that same time, Yehuda's doing Teshuvah. And now we turn back, and sandwiched inside of the Teshuvah of Yehuda is the destruction and the tragedy of Yisrael, because Tess tells us again by Yomahu. And here the Bayomahu is going to once again focus on Yisrael and how they're wiped out. Why Pasuk Yud? Ki shachacht Elokei Yishech. Because that you forgot Hashem who saves you. V'tzur mu'uzech, and your rock lo zachart, you did not remember. Al kein, therefore, tit'i nit'ei na'amim, you planted beautiful plants. Uzmorat zar tizrenu, but you reaped foreign plants. The Malbim points out there's two words used here. The one is shachacht and the other one is lo zachart. Because the Malbim says you can't truly forget Hashem. Hashem is so obvious in the world. Hashem is there in every sunrise and in every sunset and in every moment of our lives, that to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you really have to live in a world shelo zachart, that you're choosing to forget the thing that's right in front of your eyes. And what's this imagery about planting beautiful plants and getting bad ones? Well, as we said in Perek Hay, we spoke about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a vineyard, remember, and he planted beautiful plants and out came bad. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, we're told it's not just that they planted beautiful plants. The beautiful plants were our roots, our seeds, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. But Pasuk Yud Aleph says, "Beyom nit'ech tesagsegi." In the day that you planted, the Malbim says they mixed into their plants other foreign things. They made some sort of hybrid plant, like a kilaim type thing. And what that means is, instead of turning to Hashem, they thought it would be more efficient. They thought it would be quicker, and they thought it would be safer to mingle with who? With Aram. And if last Perek Tes Zion spoke about Moab, and we reprimanded Moab for not making friends with Yisrael, here we're reprimanding Yisrael for making bad friends, that they'd made friends with Aram, and they made an allegiance with such terrible sinners, and they thought it would help them. They thought it would make their lives easier and better and quicker, but it doesn't. It brings about Ke'ev Enosh, the pain and the agony of humanity. This perek has spoken about the destruction of Damasek, the destruction of Yisrael, and the salvation of Yehuda. But Rashi points out something very important. He tells us that every time anyone tries to destroy Am Yisrael, they will be destroyed. And therefore, every time there's a prophecy about the destruction of Am Yisrael, it's always going to be juxtaposed with a prophecy describing the destruction of the destroyers. And therefore, the perek ends with a vision of what's going to happen to Sancheirev. And it says, Hoi hamon amim rabim. Hoi, remember we said, is a word of oi vavoi to you, this leader of multiple people. Because we said Sancheirev managed to intermingle all of the people. He was the world power at the time. And Hashem says, I'm going to get you too. Pasuk Yud Dalet says, Le'et erev v'hine belaha. In the evening, when you're ruling, there's fear all around. B'terem boker enenu. But in the morning, you won't be there. And this is a direct and explicit suggestion to the time in which they camped around Yerushalayim at night, and by the morning they were destroyed. But also, nighttime represents a time of fear, a time of hesder panim, when Hashem is hidden. Yes, Sancheirev, I will allow you to rule, Hashem says, when I am hidden. But in the morning, when the sun rises again, when hope comes, enenu, you will not exist anymore. Because zeh chelek shosenu v'gorel levozzenu. This is the portion to those who spoil us and the lot of those who rob us. We as Jewish people know that when it comes morning time, our enemies will be destroyed. Perhaps that's why in Tehillim we say, Nafshi la Hashem mishomrim la boker, shomrim la boker. We as Jews align with those who are shomrim la boker, who are waiting for the morning. Because the Malbim says to us, there's lots of changing of the guards throughout the night. And if you're a guard who has your shift ends at midnight, the way that you know your shift is over is when the next person comes to release you from your shift. But when you rely on human beings, then sometimes if the next guy comes late, he has an emergency, he doesn't show up, then you'll never know that your shift is over. But the Shomrim LaBoker, the guards who are waiting for the morning time, they know for certain that their shift will end on time, because at the end of the shift, the sun rises. And so too, we as Jewish people are going through this Le'et Erev, this nighttime in which it appears to be that our enemies are so mighty, but we know, B'terem Boker Enenu, when the morning comes, they will cease to exist and the morning will come. And we know with absolute unwavering certainty that our Kadosh Baruch Hu will turn things around for us and destroy our enemies despite us deserving punishment in the times of Hesder Panim, in the times that Hashem is hidden. Thank you for learning with me today. Our learning today was sponsored L'Refuah Shelema L'Yonina Sima Bas Daphne Hinda Jennifer Hayakara Shelano U'Lepitzu'ei Tzahal Achenu Hayakarim B'Toch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael Nina V'Chaim Shenka.